Let's see where we are today with our planets and stars. Okay, we're in this house, that's the second house here. If I can find it. Right here. It's the second house. You can't see it good on this wheel. I think we need to do something different. The first house is the house of I am. This is the house of, like, I have, I possess. You know who you are, so to speak. Your I am-ness has built such a relationship that now you can know the things that you truly possess within your vessel that are yours. Something you have to give to other people. It's called the house of money, which is the house of the bull. And that has to do with your willpower, what you determine within yourself as a person. And that goes to a much higher level. If you notice, I said this, I think, the last time I shared, this part of the bull, the back side of the bull, which is all of the BS, is left out of your life. It's no longer there. I mean, you can talk about it and present it, but everybody knows it. So that part of the bull doesn't come into the picture of your spirituality. This bull goes through so many changes, and I don't want to get those charts out right now. He starts off as a raging, stubborn, hard-headed, mule-headed, not going to attitude in everybody. That's how it starts. And it doesn't mean anybody's exempt. Everybody's got some of that, which is a stubbornness. Anyway, when Christ deals with us, or when we have an experience with divinity, I call it Jesus. That's my truth. When you teach, you present your truth, but I get to tell mine, okay? You don't have to eat it, but I'm going to share it with you anyway, because that's what I know. So, when he touched my heart, he took me all the way to the end of the tabernacle, but then he's smart enough to take me back and show me how I got there. So it's not a quick work or a fast thing. It's something you deal with constantly, daily. And it's really wonderful that he lets us go back outside the gate sometime. You know, we have a salvation experience. I've seen it over and over with people run to the altar and run to the, I mean, they get saved every 2 weeks or once a year or every 10 years or what they call saved. And they are. They have gone into a salvation thing and have been touched. But they ain't finished. There's lots to do. So in the coming back out, he shows us that this bull has to be broken. And in that breaking, we can see it in Scripture where outside the gate, they strip this bull completely. You talk about knocking the horns off. They knock everything off. And he's slain outside the gate. His skin and all the parts that aren't needed are thrown up on the dung heap. And they can't come in the gate. So it's the bull that's been dealt with that gets into that holier place, so to speak. Inside the gate, we see the tame bull. The broken wheel, which is the calf, you see it readily in the soul, the scriptures full of it, until you become a seraph, where you really don't have strong, personal, egoic determinations. They're gone. Your ego is a beautiful thing if you know what it is and how to work with it. We all need some. We came here to be human beings. That's the honest truth of it. Our mortality is so tied to our immortality, though. So if we don't take advantage of this life and get a balance, I mean, I see people that supposedly walk in the heavenlies, and they're no earthly good. They can't help anybody else. They don't want to have a family. They're just dwelling off somewhere in what they call the sweet yonder. And I wouldn't trade places with them for nothing. God sent me here to be married, to have a family, to have grandchildren, to live life, to have arguments, to get along and not get along, to be all the things that I'm being. It's your path. And the beautiful thing that Jesus Christ offers is free choice. You choose. Before you came, you chose your journey. Some of you don't believe that. I don't care. When you wake up, you'll know it. All you got to do is wake up a little bit and know that you chose to come. I wanted this journey. I needed this present reality that you and I live, breathe, and walk in every day. We needed the politics of today. That's hard for me to say, but we did. We need all the negative that's going on today in our personal lives that are not personal. All those things that have happened to us, we're here for a purpose. Just wake up and understand that. Plod right along and enjoy it. It's an awesome thing to me. It's awesome. I do forget it sometime in my everyday life. I get caught up in what I'm doing. But I have little gentle reminders that says, hey, what are you doing every now and then? Something that takes a hold. So that's what I love about it, is we're not alone. That one song we sang, I know Rokas wrote it, because we're crucified on a cross of time and space. Of course we are. It's time and space, this lifetime. But we're eternal beings. When you step off of this scene, you're going to step into another eternity. Beautiful thing. But I think most people are waiting, want to come here, saying, send me for this or that experience that needs to be. So, I love it, and I think it's great, but it's born out here. This guy has a relationship. He says, I have, and he's not talking about the house of money, but he's talking about who I am. I know who I am, and I know my frailty, and I know your frailty, and that's okay. We all got them. Human failings, of course. We came here to have some human failings as well as wonderful successes. If we could just not be so egoic and say, oh, I never miss it, and I never fail. Give me a living break and grow up. That's an infantile, self-righteous, sick mentality. It's just real easy to say, hey, I could have missed that a little bit. Maybe, just perhaps, I should have done that a different way. So that builds a true relationship with you when you get real in your reality. I love it. I love it that the relationship is up to me, because God's always there. He's there for everyone and everybody. But he is not a gravy train. Everybody calls God's love unconditional. Then why in the heaven's name do we have rule books? My book's full of conditions, ifs. There's certain things you just can't do in life, or you waste it. You're throwing it away. So you learn that a little bitty feller starts learning certain things I need to take responsibility for. I take responsibility for those things that come into my space. If they're not in order, what I feel is my order for my home, I'm going to deal with it within me or you if you're in my house. That's the way life works. And I'll treat you with that same respect. If I come to your home, I won't disrespect you. I'll treat you with the same respect that I expect. Anyway, this is a beautiful love story that we've been teaching, and it's been on for some time, and I don't know how long we're going to be on it, long as we feel to, about a young Shulamite shepherd girl that lived thousands of years ago, and she meets a shepherd boy, which nobody really wanted her to meet. It's a beautiful story of us, and I call King Solomon our ego. That's what I call it, sitting at the table. People put it outside and say he had to do with the church system, because remember, he could do anything he wanted to do. He was a rich man. Did you know that you can do anything you want to do, and you're a rich man? You make your choices. You can't keep putting them outside yourself and say so-and-so did that. Well, yeah, they did that. Was it your choice? No. Did it affect, like Beverly said, everything you do affects you and someone else. Everything. The way you continually think and put into action, that can affect everything and everybody around you and who you are. If you're living in this life right here, this is the reality you have to live in. And be honest about it. Just be honest. I'm sent here to live in today's reality. Not 50 years ago, although I like that better, some of it. We didn't have the issues that they have now. So yeah, I might like to stay back there a little bit in some things. Now, these updated technologies with telephones and internets, I love it. That's wonderful. Communication is great. What Father's really getting to is the day will come. I don't think I will see it in this lifetime. Some of you might. When man will read your thoughts. Hello. You talk about keeping them clean with energy, and you better then. And even now, it's good to clean up your thoughts. Because there come a day when every thought will be revealed to every man. Because that's where this technology is going. That's where it's headed. And it'll be an awesome time. I don't look for that in this Aquarian age to finalize. But I do look for it in the Capricornian age, which will be the next age after this one, more than 2,000 years down the road. Because in that Capricornian age, you have that sacrificial goat on the scene. And he will lay down his life to get there. That'll be the tribe of Naphtali. And it is very reserved and legalistic. So it will be required of every man to get it right. And then we may begin to walk in what man feels is more immortality than we do today. But we're headed there in learning how to take care of our bodies better. I don't know how far that'll go. I don't know what Father wants in those ages, but I know what he wants today. He wants a relationship, he, she, it whatever All Father is, he's divine. Feminine, he's divine. Masculine, he's all of those things within you, not somewhere else. Though he's there too. It's up to your awareness and your reality. You make the choice. That's the wonderful thing to me. He doesn't make anybody. Well, we all come through the church where we had our little laws and rules. And she was a good mother. I agree with Barbara. The church was a good mother to a point. And then I needed to go on to something else and understand something more. But it did teach me to learn some obedience in certain things and an order that God has set for each life. There's an order. In every life, in every home you go into, you set the order of that. You set your own order as your own priest. You are a priest. Everybody is the priest of what they live in. Some people never wake up and know that. That's amazing to me. I get to say. You know, I just see all kinds of people, and I liked what Geraldo said. He said, tell the world how to think, but don't tell me how to think, and that's how I feel. You think like you want to, dude, but leave me out of it. You don't want to dress nice? I don't care. Wear your pajamas. Wear your BVDs here or anywhere. I ain't, because that's not who I am. I'm not who you are. You be who you are. You want to go to Walmart with pajamas on? That's fine with me. But I'm not. I love my vessel. I'm going to give her a bath and fix her up as best I can. And she needs it, especially the older she gets. Anyway, I sure hadn't planned on this, but it's coming out. Anyway, King Solomon has set his heart on her. Your ego. He sets his heart on you. But he's not happy with one divine feminine. I mean, he's got 1,000 women around him that he's chosen, and they were all princes and princesses and queens and the cream of the crop he chose for himself. So when he comes into her presence, you've got to know how a little shepherd girl would have looked. If she's a little shepherd girl, she's got on shepherding clothes, and she most likely hadn't had a really good bath. She's been sweating in that hot sun from keeping the sheep. And she probably not all that clean looking in those days. I mean, I don't know how every shepherd I've ever seen looks a little not perfect, except pictures you see of what they depict as Christ. And that was in his divinity. Anyway, so Solomon sees that. We see within ourselves that beautiful, divine, feminine. All of us do. And we really sometimes want that. That's more important than all these other 1,000 things we've had or wanted or tending to. He really wanted her. However, the ego wasn't willing to give of himself. He couldn't give of himself, and while he's sitting at her table, actually he's lounging, because that's what they did back then when they ate. She says, while the ego is sitting here, King Solomon, the greatest king that ever lived, they said, the richest king, probably the most handsome, I don't know. However, she never sees him that way. She says, while he's sitting here at the table, there's a smell a fragrance filling me and the whole room that he can't smell nor can he match. I am in love with that one. Please, if you're going to love something in divinity, choose something. Not everything, because everything out there in the heavenlies is not divine, folks. We are sent here to deal with and overcome powers and principalities of us. That's what the scripture says. Where are they? They're right there in your head. Even in the cells of your body, some of them. So we're sent to overcome things here. Awesome. Those things that destroy your divinity and keep your ego thriving. But she's well aware because she has a relationship with her shepherd that lives within her. She has a relationship. If you don't have one, I can't tell you how to get there because it is so, so personal. You have to choose to know who you are. If Bruce don't mind, I'm going to use him. While he was away this last time, he wrote me a letter. He said, "Mother, when I get home this time, I'm going to create smiles from people and joy in their lives." He woke up and found out who he really was inside. Did it take a while? I don't care about the while. Just wake up and know who you are and see how much you can bless other people. And he did keep that word. But you can't give it to anybody. I love Jesus' parables because of that. And we always think, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. But I want to read you this stuff because I think this book's called Wisdom Jesus. I'm pretty sure some of the Gnostics wrote it, but they at least had a handle on this. Do you really know, as well as you think you do, what is good and what is bad? Who are the righteous and who are the not righteous? It's a direct challenge to that binary operator in your mind, which is so quick to judge and feel self-meritorious. I guess that's a word. We are this same challenge. We see this same challenge in an even more unsettling way in the parable of the prodigal. Again, this is a very familiar story about the younger of two sons who cashes in his inheritance early. Just give me my stuff. I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to think like I want to think. It doesn't matter if I squander everything you give me. No matter what, I'm going to do what I want to do. So we live our life, forgetting about our rich father who lives within us. He squanders the entire sum in his riotous living. And then he comes home and he begs to be taken back by his father. Remarkably, and as it should be, his father accepts him with open arms. His repentance is real, though. He's not going to keep squandering and doing the things that he said he wasn't going to do. The father accepts him with open arms and even hosts a grand feast to celebrate his son's return. Y'all know this story. But the older son, Mr. Self-Righteousness and Ego, that lives in every man, is driven absolutely around the bend in his gesture by saying, "I've always done right. And you can do me nothing." Hello? How does that sound? Have you ever done that? I'm not that self. I ain't always done right. And neither have you. And neither had he, really. He had been there and done dutiful things, of course. But his heart's as crooked as a haint. Even after he's been there and done. Because it's not right with the father nor his brother. He says to his father, "How dare you? My brother wasted all your money. He made a mockery of you. And now he comes back and you throw a party in his honor. Meanwhile, I've been slaving away for you. And you offered me nothing, not a thing. Even a quiet dinner with my friends." And right here is the point of the parable. It's exactly the same point as Jesus was making in the laborers in the vineyard story that we looked at earlier. The egoic operating system will always get stuck in its personal judgment and self-meritoriousness. The older brother, with his indignant, "This isn't fair." Folks, life's not fair. Did you hear me? Life's not fair. If you just read a little history about the Kennedys, rich, 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 and they've had more tragedies than any family I know. I wouldn't trade places with the Kennedys, and I'm not against them. Some are awesome people. I don't agree with their politics sometimes, but I like Jack Kennedy, who came along at a beautiful time. Anyway, he says this isn't fair, and this is a textbook example of the egoic operating system at work. Well, I've always done right, and I didn't get nothing. Hello? You get the satisfaction of having done it right in yourself. That's good enough for me. You're not going to get a lot of attaboys just because you live an even, dutiful life. They just don't come along.
Virtue is its own reward.
Yes. Through Jesus, through him, he's asking us to look closely at that part in each of us that insists on keeping score. Well, I'm not big on winning, I'll be honest. I like to play games, but if I don't win, it don't bother me a bit. I don't have to be right, and I don't have to win, because my confidence in who I am has nothing to do with that game. It's just a game. It's like football. Of course, I like the Volunteers to win, and Michael likes South Carolina to win. We let him have that, and he lets us have it. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if they don't win, I'm not going to be blown away one way or the other. It's okay. I would like for them to. It's wonderful if they do. But if they don't, that's all right, too. Anyway, the parable concluding image of the older son standing alone outside and refusing to join the party because he feels he's been just a little bit slighted. I mean, you run into people in this life, and they slight everything and everybody, but if you slight them in the least little bit, they just go into some kind of nuts or panic, and I'm going, "Person, you need to pick up the mirror and look at yourself. If you're being slighted sometimes, maybe you're slighting other people. Just perhaps you're dishing that out." Anyway, This is a vivid symbol of the way the egoic operating system holds us back from joining the dance of divine mercy. In full swing, and it's all around us, always. If we moved out of this room right now, there'd be no spirit in it. Alan Jackson's wrote a new song. He said, I'm as empty on a church on Monday morning as a church on Monday morning, because he's buried his wife and he misses her, or his partner, whichever she is. Whatever. The thing that he has a relationship with. Can you imagine this place on Monday morning? The presence of the Lord is what you bring in here with you. To me, that's the awesome thing. Okay. There's a whole lot more to this if you'd like to read it sometime, but I won't. Not now. It made the point that Jesus was trying to make in that parable for us, to show us what we're really made of. Maybe we can go on with this. In the first building of the tabernacle, the very first rendering, this altar of incense, the spikenard, so to speak, the thing that causes the sweet attitude from you, the attitude of I'll just give because Father's spoken to me to give of myself. It's what I want to do. It's my deep desire, not something you're made to do. Because if you're made, you'll start counting it. I did this much and I did that much, blah, blah. And we all do that. Over in Exodus, the 30th chapter, though, it puts a piece of furniture in the tabernacle that wasn't there the first time, in the first rendering. And that would be what we call the altar of incense. And I'm thinking, I don't see many people that have any awareness of that altar of incense. How important it is, what they're giving off from their personality and their being. But he tells the priest, he says, hey, you know, get your wash bucket out and take a bath. Wash the stink off of you. He tells the priest, wash your face. That means do away with your personality if you can, or what you have to have or not have to have all the time. Wash your hands, your works, and wash your feet where you walk. And after you do that, you can move into that holy place, which has to do with the light of the candlestick, which is spirit. Has nothing to do with light outside. Because it's always daylight in your heart if you want it. It's your choice. They didn't go by any natural light in that holy place. It was all the light of the spirit of the candlestick within. They could see it, feel it. Lit up the room. And they were smart enough to eat of the 12 loaves of holy bread. It's called the bread of the faces. Other personalities that come into your life. Actually, it has to do with every house. Every tribe. Having a relationship and understanding where they're coming from. I mean, people can tell you where they're coming from. Very few people really sense where the other guy is coming from. So we need to do that. You eat those 12 loaves of bread because they were replaced every week, which is everything in your space all week. In your work, in your home, you're never exempt. You're always divine inside. It's with you. And then there's this altar of incense. And you have a rule. wash yourself in the washing of the water of the living word that lives within you, not the old dead water. Change the dang water. Use clean water every day. And let that be a current understanding to you. That water lives in you. You've got your own labor. And then you are eligible to offer things on this altar of incense. It has five ingredients, really, but four main spices, which has to do with the soul again. Four is the number of this material realm. Your soul, that's the number of it. You have a mind, you have emotions, you have a will, you have desires. And those things are so mixed up and misunderstood by most people. They don't know their own soul. What good is it for me to know your soul and not know mine? That's what preaching does. That's why I think...
I'm sorry, that one. This update changed things.
It's okay. I know about updates, and I'm not up with them sometimes. Anyway, he said, after you take a bath, this is something I want you to keep on hand, and I want you to do. All I give you to do is keep you right, your attitude. You can't too much deal with other people's attitude unless they give you that authority. But your attitude is something you can take personally and say, hey, how is this affecting everything and everybody? I mean, take a census of your life since you were born and the things that have happened to you. Are you where you want to be? Has it always been somebody outside of you's fault? Give me a break. What? Deal with it honestly. Get honest. Of course, only Spirit can help you do that. That'll help you get honest. Our reality reaches up and bites you on your tail feathers. One way or the other, you'll wake up. I think I'd rather wake up by what Spirit teaches me than what reality wants to teach me. Anyway, he says, I want you to take these most important spices. When he says principal, the chiefest spices, the most dominant spices, I want you to take these things because they're the most important to how the attitude you emit and the things you say and how you carry yourself. You take the purified myrrh. You can look at this if you want to. He wants you to take 500 shekels. A shekel is 10 grams. So that's a lot of shekels. Or grams, so to speak. Anyway, five has to do with your senses. The feeling, the touching, tasting, seeing, hearing. Seeing is number one. Reuben is the house of seeing, Aquarius, the age we're living in now. People are going to see near, far, and wide. I don't know how much they're going to hear, because then comes the house of hearing. Reuben was the firstborn son of Jacob. I want you to see the Son within yourself and how he functions and be able to see him in your brother also. Then the hearing gets born. Simeon hears, but he has a dualistic hearing. He can hear himself, or he can hear his flesh. there was our Piscean church age we had, when people could hear only the church and have to have their own pastor. Do you have to have a priest or a pastor to tell you something is wrong? Be your own priest and be a good one. And say, hey, okay, I'm hearing this with the wrong kind of heart. Then Levi gets born, the seeing and the hearing Mary. That's a beautiful sign, Libra. The house of marriage, the house of I want to be friends, the house of building relationships with others. People say, I never hear from my kids and I never hear from so-and-so. I want to go, what's wrong with your finger? If you don't hear, I call my kids and my grandkids. I'm the mother and grandmother. I'm not 2 years old. I don't care whether they call me or not. That's their issue if they don't. But I know how to be responsible, so why not? I'm okay with that. What they don't do. I mean, I don't think I know what's not right, but they'll wake up someday and be a mother and a grandmother. And payback's hell. That happens too. Anyway, the five senses have to do with those things, which we've already talked about three of them. The joining has to do with the seeing and the hearing, marrying your nose brain, which has to do with your emotions, which is the house of Levi, which is the house of marriage, which is the house of the priest. Lord Jesus. Very simple. And then we have our other senses. There's five of them. Actually, there's lots more senses that we don't give credence to this day and time. But he was speaking of the five there in Hebrews. He said, I want you to take that to the first power, which is your jubilee, means that you're free. That you feel a liberation within yourself to be who you are. Because you know that you're accepted as you are by the folks. And then you move on to tabernacles. And we got to experience this in this last meeting. Not one nanny. I heard no complaints. Did we do everything perfect? Why no? I mean, these women, my husband, they brought food in here by the droves. And my boys cleaned and fixed and helped, and my girls. I mean, it was a joint effort. But we didn't hear any complaint. Not one negative thing. Was that tabernacles? I think so. I know so. Okay. 500 of myrrh, and I'll get into that if I have time. I don't know what time it is. Y'all can stop me when it gets by 10 after at the latest. It's going. I guess it's clicking right along. I don't have an iPhone, so I don't know much about it. Anyway, 500 shekels of the myrrh, and then he wants you to take this sweet cinnamon and divide it. Lord, have mercy. Rightly dividing the word of truth within you. Cut into your own truth. I mean, make a gash in it somewhere and cut it to the bone and look at it and say, Father, is this really what you want from me? Have I dealt with this thing in myself? That's your sweet cinnamon. Sorry. And calamus, it's 250 shekels. Let's see, I've got the notes to that. It's kind of an interesting what it is. Somewhere. Oh, that's your rod for measuring yourself. Remember in the scripture, Pharaoh's priest all had a rod, but Moses had a rod. He threw his rod down. I know this had to surprise him. And it became a serpent when it was on the ground. Yours does too, by the way, if it's just living earthy. It's a serpent. It's not the rod lifted up to divinity. So yours serpent's just as bad as everybody else's. And you got one. Or you can take that rod out of the earthy understanding and lift it to the heavenlies and let that measure you. I mean, matter of fact, crawl up on that pole and be crucified. And that's measuring yourself. Hold it up. Anyway, Moses threw it down. It became a serpent. And so did the priest. They could do that. Pharaoh's priest could perform their magic. It became serpents too. But the Moses serpent did swallow up all of theirs. And then he takes that rod and lifts it up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, if I'm lifted up in you, I will draw every man to you. If I be lifted up. But long as you leave me on the ground as just a man with no divinity, I can't. It's not working. I came here not just to be humanity, but to show you what divinity was in your humanity, that you can do it. Of course he did. And if he didn't, none of us have a prayer. Because all those other things, whether they existed or not, I don't know. But they didn't do it in this humanity. They didn't get us there. He got us there. That's the one I want a relationship with. That actually come here and did the job. Okay. Then the last ingredient, you need to keep plenty of it on hand. It causes you, it's a purgative. That means you clean all of your waste and bile out before you measure up somebody else. That way you can smell good because you're not full of BS. I know that's hard teaching, but it still gets us there. These three equal 1,500 shekels. Cheryl made this one time. She broke it all down and made a gallon of this stuff. This real thing. Whew. Expensive thing to make. Because you have to have a whole gallon of olive oil. A hen is almost our gallon. Not quite. Anyway, 15 in the scripture is completely new direction. Go back and look at your life and see if you've taken new turns certain places. It's an awesome thing. We took some new direction here last year. I don't think anybody chose it ahead of time, but it came anyway. And we've dealt with it and been through it, and we're here to tell about the whole thing. Awesome. This is also to the third power, which speaks of the cardinal cross that lives within you. Every day, the scripture says, you take up your cross of humanity and you live it out. It don't mean reach back 2,000 years ago and hunt that cross that Jesus lived on. You don't have to do that. It's inside you, always here and now, your own cross, you out. And you can either live on an immutable cross, which never can make up its mind. One day it might, next day it won't. That's a mutable cross. It's changing all the time. Or you can live on a dualistic cross, and you're always lifted up, and everybody else is somewhere else. You have half a mind. That's not too good one either. Or you can live on a cardinal cross, where you give it all you got. And even when you miss it, you're blessed because you gave it all you had. Did you miss it sometime? Yeah. Not many times I haven't said, I probably could have said that a little different. However, I believe you need to stand your ground for yourself if you're standing in rightness. So, you can put me down, but you can remember that's a two-way street when you do it. I know how to fix that. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have a right. Or you can go to sheep as the slaughter, but I think Jesus says, just like he told the crowds and the Pharisees, you generation of serpents, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come when they was trying to put him down? That wasn't exactly gentle, was it? When he went in his own, on the temples, where they were buying and selling the merchandise, and he had a scourge, and he drove them out of his temple. He made them leave. So there are certain things you have a right to stand up to. So, like I said, if somebody's issuing it out to you, then you can, you may stand up. You can stand up in a nice attitude. I don't always think to do that. I miss that sometimes. However, they don't always do it to you in a nice attitude. Did you know that? Because they have an attitude about you. So they got to set you straight. We just needed to hoe in our own garden and tend to our own knitting and govern where we live every day. It's awesome. Anyway, let me tell you, folks, we get this right. This thing right here, this attitude, keeping self cleaned out, rightly dividing with our measuring rod. What was the calamus? Cinnamon. I don't know why I have trouble remembering that. Oh, it means cinnamon was always stored in upright rolls, and you buy it now commercially. You'll see it in a little spicy container, and it'll be in a roll. Well, used to, or maybe they still do somewhere, I didn't research that enough. That's how they do the cinnamon bark. They peel it away from the tree, so to speak, the cinnamon tree. And it leaves a bark, but you peel the bark off of something which has to do with dividing again. That means when you meet somebody and they're a stinker, try to look beyond the bark, and I do. I try to look beyond that stinker and see if there's not, you know, something that could get sweet or be changed. Now, some people like their stinker, so you can't help them. They love it. They've lived with it so long it become familiar and comfortable, and they think everybody ought to accept it. I don't feel that way. That's not how I feel about it. To me, it's beautiful. There's whole lots more. That's your personal altar of incense. And it don't happen overnight. That's the big thing we need to know about myrrh. It is distilled like liquor. It has to go through a process where that deepest, most wounded thing in yourself, you know, kids do it all the time. Well, so-and-so got a cookie and they didn't give me a cookie. Right? So they're wounded. I mean, Johnny says they've been kicked away from the table or something. I always thought that was funny and crude. And it is. But always got a little nene because of the raisin. Well, I'm over my raisin. Good Lordy mercy. My mother and daddy's dead and gone. And no, they didn't do everything right. But I'm a big girl now. So they missed it somewhere. I'm not still wounded because of the things that happened to me when I was a little girl. Grow up. Quit blaming the other guy. But be thankful that you were in a place to have an experience that you have. Listen, I love what I have become, and I love what I was brought here to do, and I love those hellish experiences that I went through because they taught me some things. I mean, who's wounded for our transgressions? Do you think you're not going to be wounded and exempt from that when this being isn't and wasn't? Never. Yeah, you're going to be wounded. And we're going to have the house of pain sometime. But we'll get thankful for it. It's like the Happy Goodman saying, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Us being honest. Get past all your bitternesses and all of the knots and all of the uns. And be a real person. Be honest with you, and then you can take responsibility for you and many others. You can. Will I help you bear a cross? I will. I will help you bear that cross. That's not hard. My brother's is not always heavy. Sometimes they get heavy. When they do, I lay them down or lay them out. You know, I tell them where the bear went to the woods. And sometimes you have to do that. If you really love each other, you get honest. And that's what all of this is about, is getting honest with you. Get honest. If you can't do that, find you a counselor to talk to. Somebody that you can really trust to take you somewhere. Not only somebody that agrees with you. Everybody wants that kind of counselor. Well, I love you much, and that's about as far as I feel to go today. Thank you for listening to me. Still didn't get to the scripture, the main one I want to get to, but maybe next week, next time, whenever we meet again. You want me to turn this off?